It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. All right, so we've got a big intro for today's guest. We've got Justin, who is celebrating 30 years in the fitness industry from being a personal trainer, salesperson, club manager, and multi-club owner, alongside now being a business coach. He was an inaugural inductee into the Fitness Australia Roll of Honour in 2011 and Australian Fitness Network Presenter of the Year in 2008. JT's company is called Active Management. It's a world-renowned business coaching company with one of the fastest growing closed Facebook groups on the web. He facilitates the Industry Leaders Roundtable. This is the original and longest running roundtable program in Australia for gym owners and PT business owners. He has delivered 341 presentations in 21 countries to over 195,000 people, including the only business speaker to speak for 20 consecutive years at Filex. He has a weekly Facebook live show called JT in the Raw that has been viewed over 180,000 times. And it doesn't end there, guys. He is the owner of the Fitness Business Podcast, the number one podcast on the planet for fitness business owners, managers, and people who want to get better in business. And this year, he ran Australia's inaugural Fitness Industry Technology Summit. So today, we're going to get super tactical about how to get your message heard and use Facebook Lives to generate leads and attract new clients for your business. Let's get into it. All right, we're recording, we're in session. Great to have you on the show, Justin. Really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks, Alex. Really looking forward to it. Hopefully your listeners can understand my accent.
Yeah, I'm sure they can get it. So there's loads of things that we can speak about. I'm actually really excited to unpack all the things that you've done. Because you've done a ton of stuff. So before we get into maybe some strategy and some really practical things that the audience can use to help them with their businesses, I'd love to give people a bit of context as to like what you've been doing for the last 20, 30 years, because you've been in the industry for a long time. Looking at you, you wouldn't know that because I said before you jumped on, you look about 40, so you're looking great shape for your age. But can you give everyone a bit of context as to what you've been doing that's led you up to this point and what you actually do now?
Well, I'm going to hazard a guess that I am like many of your listeners. When I was at university, I was passionate about health and fitness. And so I decided that I'd get into the fitness industry. I was actually starting to be a phys ed teacher and decided, not sure if I really want to be a phys ed teacher, and got a job in a gym because I loved exercise. I loved working out and thought, why not take this thing that I love and make it a career? And that was back in the 1980s when G-string leotards and fluffy white socks were the in thing. And that was just on the boys. So it was a really crazy time in the industry. Aerobics had just sort of skyrocketed and pretty much people that did strength training were bodybuilders. So, you know, certainly across the industry in the late 80s, people sort of exercised, I guess, more for vanity than anything else. And I've been lucky enough in the 30 years that I've been in the industry to see, particularly in the UK, the US and Australia, our industry morph to move from the vanity side of things to the health side of things. And so I started as a gym instructor. Not many gyms have them these days. And as a gym instructor, I decided I would read a wonderful book called Going Solo by Dr. Douglas Brooks, which is, I guess it's a how-to guide to becoming a personal trainer. And I decided I'd be a personal trainer because I was passionate about health and fitness. And my interesting story around that, I'll give you a couple of lessons, I guess, for the fit pros out there. The name of my business, Alex, was called The Physical Epitome. And it made sense to me. It made perfect sense to me, the name of that business. Problem was, this is a marketing lesson for everybody, two of them. First one is, pick a name of a business that people can actually say. I had lots of people call it The Physical Epitome. And marketing lesson number two is, use a word that people know the meaning of, because the next question was, what is epitome? And what I learned from that marketing lesson, and what I learned from pretty much the first 6 months of being a personal trainer, was how much I didn't like it, how much I didn't enjoy it. I think one of the really important things is for us to be self-aware of the type of person we are. And we talk a lot about Myers-Briggs as a personality profiling tool, or DISC personalities as a profiling tool. And have I still got you? Yep. And pretty much I'd worked out that my personality didn't really click with being a personal trainer, my personality style. And so I then moved into management into sales, and then into management, and then I owned some clubs. And then we'll cover the rest of the journey as we go. But I guess two lessons that I'd like to share with you fit pros straight off the bat is, be super clear on why you want to be a personal trainer or a fit pro. And then the second one is, make sure that whatever role you have in the industry is congruent with your personality, because after 6 months of personal training, I worked out how much I didn't like about it.
Mm. Can we go back to those early days of being a personal trainer? Maybe describe some of the things that you didn't expect before you got into the industry. So when you got into the industry, you find yourself in this position, and then you quickly learn that actually it's not for you, and that's okay. And there might be people listening to this, and it's not the dead end of your journey in the fitness industry. There's lots of other paths you can take. But describe what that was like for you when you started out as a personal trainer, and what was it that you didn't so much enjoy about the process or being that type of person?
What I remember is there are a couple of things. The first thing was standing out the front of a park waiting for a client to show up. And it was cold and it was drizzly and we didn't have mobile phones. And the book that I read, Going Solo, never told me anything about cancellation fees and how to ask for cancellation fees and how to have your business structured financially so that someone would have sessions in advance. So if they didn't show up, you just took it off their card, if you will, rather than just sitting there out of pocket. So in the first 3 months, I probably lost more money than I made simply by clients not showing up. And to be honest, it just gave me the shits. It just frustrated me. And then the second thing is, these people that had bought personal training, they weren't serious about training. I was used to training with semi-professional rugby players. And these people weren't like that. They were just paying me to vent about their work or their partner or about their life. And I was this counselor. I never realized that was going to be part of being a job as a personal trainer. And so what I found was at the end of two or three sessions, I was mentally exhausted. I was emotionally fatigued. And the clients were leaving with a big smile on their face, but they've dumped their monkey on my back.
Mm. Do you reckon it was down to the fact that you chose to work with people on a freelance basis outside of maybe an establishment where there was better clientele? Like, looking back, the way that you were running the business, do you think that was the best choice? Or could you have positioned yourself in a better place to get the type of clientele that you wanted?
I was actually working in a gym at the time, and I pitched to the gym that I do personal training inside the gym. And the gym owner said to me, there's no way people are going to pay for additional training on top of getting gym programs. So I was really forced to go outside and do sort of outdoor training. I think my problem was I didn't have high enough emotional intelligence. So we talk about IQ, your intelligence quotients, and then we talk about emotional intelligence and an emotional quotient. And the way I define emotional quotient is, how would you how would you explain to somebody that they've got cancer and they're going to die? And some with high emotional intelligence comes across very empathetic in that explanation, and some with low emotional intelligence just blurts it out. And at my age of 18, 19, 20 years old, I had such a low emotional intelligence that I was just saying things because that's the way I was feeling. And I'll be honest, I wasn't mature enough to be dealing with people who were 30 or 40 or 50 years of age. That's the reality.
So what happened from there? You got to this point where you realized it wasn't working, and you made a change. What was that next step for you? And I think for everyone listening, actually, this is kind of an interesting perspective, because obviously, like, this was a long time ago when personal training wasn't so mainstream as it is today. So you talk Correct. About the experience with the gyms and them not understanding the concept of charging members for extra and additional training on what they're currently doing. And so this was not a common concept back then. So it posed different challenges than it does today. Because let's face it, personal training is very mainstream right now. And now it's becoming Correct. Super mainstream online as well. So that's kind of like the new shift with technologies and trends and apps and all that stuff. So we're going through another evolutionary period in the fitness industry. So that's interesting to note, because it was a different landscape back then. But what were the next steps when you were like, okay, this is not really working for me? What were the next steps you took from there?
Well, what I did identify, Alex, was I loved helping people. And I was passionate about health and fitness. So I just had to, I didn't want to go into teaching. So I just had to find a different role for me in the industry. And so I sort of sat around that gym instructor sort of role, which was pretty simple: collect a wage, write a program for people, walk the gym floor, talk to people. It was a great job. But then as I matured using those air collars, and someone said to me, "You're a really good listener. Have you thought about doing sales?" And I said, "What is sales? And how does that work inside a gym?" And so I ended up getting a job in sales. And that's really where I sat for the next kind of 2 years, or 18 months, 2 years. Didn't even know there was a role in a gym in the early 90s as a salesperson. But I loved it. It was awesome. It was like sitting down, listening to people, meeting people from different walks of life, males, females, old, fat, young, skinny, whatever it may have been. I met a multitude of people and we got them started on gym memberships and loved it. That was just an amazing job.
So you were just selling purely memberships all day long, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because obviously you would have learned a lot of things along the way, and this is going to be super valuable for anyone selling personal training, because it's the same thing to a degree, isn't it? It's just a different it's a different product, it's a different service, but the process of selling a membership is going to be the same as selling personal training sessions. So let's dive into like the first couple of months when you were just trying to get your head around the idea of selling these memberships. Were you great from the get-go, or was it a painful start and then you figure some stuff out? Let's get real for a second, because like a lot of people getting into the industry are not going to be super, super self-centric. They just want to like help people, right? And yeah. I speak to so many personal trainers who almost have this fear or aversion to sales. They don't want to be salesy, or I hear it all the time, they don't want to be pushy, right? And they almost have this like negative connotation with sales. And so a lot of people kind of shy away from it, when actually it's one of the mechanisms to help people take action. And my personal belief system is like, to be a coach, you're always selling, because you're selling someone on the idea of eating a certain way, training a certain way, sleeping a certain way, changing their habits. And you've got to persuade them to do certain things. And that's just another form of communicative selling, which is super interesting. So that's why I'm like, why don't more people embrace it? But what were those first couple of months like for you? What were some of the kind of lessons or experiences that you had that you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think the first thing is I'm lucky, blessed to have what I would say is a natural characteristic of just being curious. I'm just a curious person. So when I sit down and meet somebody, whether it's at a dinner party or whether it's in a pub or whether it's in a sales presentation, I'm curious. And to be perfectly frank, I didn't know what my life was going to be like. I didn't know what my career would lead me to. And so every time I got to sit down with someone and talk to them about starting a gym program, I wanted to know about their job. I wanted to know what they did as a job, because maybe that's something that was going to appeal to me when I finally grew up and got a real job. So I was just asking lots of questions. And what I know about sales is this, is that for somebody, first thing is I get all the points that you made around sales, and I agree. I hate hard sell. I hate being hard sell too, and I hate hard selling. What I believe is we have a much better chance of maintaining a customer and having a customer keep coming, or a client keep coming back to us as not just renewing but training on a regular basis with us, when they own that decision to purchase PT or purchase a gym membership, when they own that decision. The only reason the only time they own that decision is when they buy a membership, as opposed to being sold membership, when they buy personal training, as opposed to being sold personal training. Now, trainers I know hate selling, but they love clients buying. So how do you get someone to buy from you? It's simple. They've got to connect with you. And what I find is there are too many trainers. So the formula that I kind of profess is that, first of all, they got to know you. Then they got to like you. Then they got to trust you. Then they'll buy from you. Now, what too many trainers go is, okay, you know me now. Well, why don't you buy from me? And skipping the like bit and skipping the trust bit. And now they're not going to buy. You've now got to sell to them. And it's exactly the same. I mean, so many trainers have gone through this in their own life. It's the same as dating. You can't meet the girl in the pub or the boy in the pub and end up married without going through a process. You got to like them. You got to trust them. Then you can get to that point. And it's exactly the same. So my view is you can get rid of the word sales. Because you don't want to ever, ever sell anything. You want people to buy from you. And the reason they buy from you is because they trust you. And the reason they trust you is because they like you. And the reason they like you is because they know you. So that's kind of my lesson.
I love this. And I want to unpack that in a second. of how we can actually build the know, like, and trust, because this is the same with online marketing as well. So an example of someone just skipping straight to the sale would just be to be posting their prices and offers straight on their Facebook feed without any foreplay, right? Going back to the dating analogy, it's just like going straight in for the kill straight away without actually priming the audience, building that know, like, and trust before you go in for the suggestion or the ask, right? Mm-hmm. And I see trainers doing this all the time, and it's because they don't know any different. They think, if I put an offer out there, then someone will just buy it. And maybe that was the case 10 years ago, particularly online, because the market wasn't super, super saturated with everyone trying to sell their products, and the market wasn't super sophisticated. So you could probably get away with that. But I think as well, over time, it's gotten harder to be able to just go in for the sale straight away and pitch the offer straight away, because there's so many people trying to tap the same market right now. And it'll be the same with offline. There's lots of choices for people to make. There's lots of options right now because we're in a very diverse market with loads of different variables for people to choose from, right?
And if we keep that the dating analogy going for just a little bit longer, and I mean, you got to remember, Alex, you and your listeners, please remember, I'm from convict heritage. So this analogy does get a little crass because we're criminals by how we were born. But if you think about this, is whether it's a male or a female, and you're in a bar and you want to pick someone up, you've got to see who they are first. That's the no bit. And then you've got to start talking to them, so then they kind of like you, and then you build the trust before you can go home with them that night or go out with them further, whatever it may be. Now, the problem is one in a million people will say yes to you when you just walk straight up to them. One in a million. But the other 999,999, when you go in for the killer close, will punch you, bite you, scratch you, kick you, knee you into oblivion. But the thing that happens here is that if you're in the bar at 6 o'clock at night and you ask all the girls in that bar if they'll date you and they all say no, you've now blown that whole market at 6 o'clock at night in that bar. So you either have to go to another bar or another time slot. Now, if you stay in the same bar and you keep going 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, eventually it's like, oh, I've got to change bars. And that's what happens in gyms, is that personal trainers just walk up to clients or walk up to members and say, oh, hi, how you doing? My name's JT and I'm wondering, would you like a complimentary personal training session? Well, who the hell are you? You don't know anything about me. Why don't you at least find out my name, find out what my goals are, maybe show me something today, maybe tomorrow, ask me about my family, and get to know me before you're going to ask for a complimentary PT session. I think we just ask too soon. And when we ask too soon, then we have to move into that sales part rather than them connecting with us and people buying from us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And you kind of alluded to building the know, like, and trust there with the kind of gym floor example. Let's keep it along those lines, and let's explore like how you would do that online as well. Because it's like, that's a different dynamic, right? Because on the gym floor, it's quite very easy for PTs to walk up to people and have those moments, have those times where they can put in some effort to build up the relationship, and then they know that member is probably going to be there again and later on in the week, right? And so they can carry on building that relationship, building those know, like, and trust to get them to take action. But online, how does that differ? How would we approach the online space and maybe the content that you put out or the messaging you put out to create those know, like, and trust elements before going in and asking people to jump on a phone call with you, for instance?
So the key there for me is your, and you kind of used it then, I guess, that word is your positioning, the position that you take. And I think as soon as you're looking at an online market, one of the key things is you've got to have a niche. You've got to have, you can't be all things to all people, because what we know about the trust side of things is that people trust experts. And it's very difficult to be an expert in everything. So you kind of, as a fit pro, you've got to get off the fence and say, this is the clientele that I want to work with. I was speaking with a personal trainer the other day, and her niche market is postmenopausal women between 50 and kind of 65. And I went, wow, that's really cool. She goes, yeah, it's awesome, because I know exactly the content I need to give to them. I know exactly the exercises that I need to give. I know exactly the resources and where to get resources. And even better, I can segment that market on Facebook easier now than I ever could, much easier than putting stuff in letterboxes. And this to me is the key. There's a great book, it's called Authority Marketing. And in the book Authority Marketing, they talk about we need to position ourselves in our community, whatever that community may be. It could be a bricks and mortar gym. That could be the community. It could be a community by geography, or it could be a community online. But we need to position ourselves as an authority. And this obviously means we have to be an expert in our field. And so people will get to know us, trust us, like us, based on us giving information. I'm building, hopefully, fingers crossed, the like bit and a little bit of trust bit with people that are going to be listening to your show, because I'm some sort of authority after 30 years in the industry. And another great book, which is super easy to read, is Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. And for me, and that is a great analogy for online businesses, is that you've got to be giving, giving, giving before asking for the sale. Giving, giving, giving before asking for the sale. And in his book, he kind of uses the metaphor of boxing, which is jab, 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 and then the killer punch with the right hook. I kind of think now it's not three jabs, it's somewhere between 7 and 10 bits of content before throwing and asking for a sale. And the key thing around that content that you're delivering is what we're doing right now, which is video. People need to see you. They need to be able to imagine who you are and your look and your feel. And when they get that look and that feel, then they start to know you, and that helps build trust straight away. And yes, they're probably judging a book by its cover, but that's the world that we now live in. They're looking in the video and going, hey, he's a bit older than the normal 18-year-old personal trainer. He might actually know, or she might actually know about postmenopausal exercises. So for me, they're the keys. It's content that resonates with the market that you're going after. It's content delivered by video, and you've got to deliver it consistently. You can't deliver it once and then not again for another 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. And the reason I asked you about the online versus the offline stuff, because you talk about niches online and why this is so important. And I almost think that a lot of PTs and fit pros who are starting out offline assume that they can target a general populace online as well, because they're comparing what they do offline, which is target gym members, generalist clients, and assume that it would be the same online, when actually this is how I ask people to think about it. Your niche is that locality. So you have actually got a niche when you're working in a gym, because it's that location that is the niche, because they're, the gym members in that actual gym are going to pick you because of the location. Whereas when people go online, they can pick any location in the world. And so instead of location specific, they're looking for expertise, right? And this is where the niche comes into effect. So then when people go online, they're looking for specialists to fix specific problems. Because if you're a generalist online coach, then you're effectively competing against Joe Wicks, Insanity, Weight Watchers, because they target the mass market. They're dirt cheap, but they have marketing dollars that will crush the life out of you, because you just can't compete with people like that who are targeting the generalist market. So the only way to stand out, like you said, is pick a niche, right? And to go in and just resonate with one particular audience, repel people, but attract others. And like you said, the book by Gary Vee is awesome. He's got another one, I think, called Crush It, which is awesome. But the Jab, Jab, Right Hook. But anyone listening, definitely go and read that, because that's a great recommendation, because it's exactly what you need to be doing online, which is give, and then ask, which is,
yeah.
I think it's a longer cycle online, isn't it? It's a much longer cycle of building the trust online. And I want to dive into something that you mentioned about video, actually, because you do weekly Facebook Lives, right? Do you still do those?
Yep, sure do. JT in the Raw.
Over 130,000 odd views on this show, which is a lot of reach. And that's all organic, right, Justin?
Correct.
Cool. So let's talk about that, because I'm big on Facebook Lives and the benefits of doing that versus just publishing a polished video. Let's talk about Lives for a second, because this is going to be a good tactical piece for anyone trying to get more reach and awareness for free on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Why do you do these Lives? Talk to us about that. And why do you think this has been so successful for you in helping you build awareness around your brand?
Okay, so the first part of the question is, why do I do it? So that people know who I am, they like me, and they trust me. And the reason why it's called JT in the Raw is because it's me and it's authentic. It's not polished. I did one on the weekend, last Friday, and we'll talk about when I do them and I guess the logistics of it to help the Fit Pros out in a minute. But I did one on the weekend, on Friday. I'd just been for a run, and I was standing in this beautiful spot, had the beach behind me. I was on holidays, and it was gorgeous. The only problem was I was covered in blowflies. There were flies everywhere. And I can see myself on the screen, and I got flies on my face, and I'm hitting them and squashing them. But it's a raw video. And that's why I called mine JT in the Raw, because I wanted it authentic. I wanted it real. I didn't want to have to sit with a perfect backdrop, because when you get to the perfect backdrop or the editing suite or whatever it may be, that's when it gets too hard and you don't do it. So the idea of mine was, this is a raw video that is designed for people to get to know who I am, and they trust me so that they buy from me. And 166 shows later, where I've done a show every single week except for Christmas week over the last 3 years, has led to me getting lots of work, speaking at conferences, as well as doing staff training for clients both within the industry and outside of the fitness industry. So it's about positioning for me. It's a positioning statement around that I'm an authority on leadership, management, marketing.
Love it. I love the piece about it's just easier to do. So people might think that it's harder to do because it's live, and like there's more margin for error. But that's what makes a live alive, is there's nowhere to hide, and there's no editing and polishing. You go live and it's published straight away. And it's there on the internet for all to see. Whereas if you, like you said, spend the time trying to piece together this perfect video, you spend a ton of time editing it, retaking it. And because you've got so many attempts, it actually slows down the production. So it's almost like imperfect action, right, Justin?
Correct. 100%. Do you know, I've never gone back and watched one of my old shows, because if I did, I'd be sitting there going, oh, that's not right. That's not right. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. And that would literally kill me. And I'd probably go, well, I'm not going to do this again. Whereas I just produce them. Some I have swallowed a fly mid JT in the Raw one day. I did one somewhere, and so it's wherever I am, I just pull up my tripod and do it. I did one the other day in Sydney, and I had the tripod set up on a garbage can, and this lady came over and she needed to put rubbish in the bin. Her dog had just crapped on the ground, and so she's got crap in her hand, and she's like, "Excuse me, sir, can I put this in the bin?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no worries." So like mid JT in the Raw, I turn the camera around and go, "Here's this lady," and it's raw and it's authentic, and it takes a little while to get used to it, but absolutely people engage with it. Can I just go through a few logistics of how a live video should work?
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you next, because I really want to make this practical for people and almost like create a little bit of a framework, because even though it is a live, you're not just going into it aimlessly. You must have an idea of the flow you're going to take it, and potentially some little tricks that you're going to drop in or some calls to action to actually make it useful. Because it's not just aimless video recording. There needs to be one value and also a call to action for it to lead somewhere to make it worth your time, because you're busy. You're not just doing these for the sake of doing lives. So yeah, we'd love for you to maybe explain like what you do in your lives. And then let's maybe talk about a little blueprint or a framework that PTs could use to attract coaching clients into their business. That would be awesome.
So my first tip is you have to be consistent. So I'm sure in the UK it's, or in the US or wherever you are in the world, if you want to know what happened in the day, at the top of the hour, there's a news bulletin, whether it's on radio or 6 o'clock at night on TV. And we grow up knowing that that's when the news is. So the same thing has to be around your life. Everybody in the fitness industry in Australia, I like to think everybody in Australia knows that 8 o'clock on Friday mornings is JT in the Raw. Every Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning. And I know people that actually put it in their diary. So this is a key thing for the fit pros out there and the PTs, is that you need to do this every week or every fortnight at exactly the same time. So you train your people, your customers or your potential customers, to come back to your Facebook feed at the same time every week or every fortnight. I think monthly is too far apart. You need to create stickiness so that people want to come back. And when you think about how much we know when it comes, how much training we go through to be a PT or a fit pro, your content that you can deliver is endless. So you could start with whatever the very first lesson is to be a PT and just reuse that, repurpose that through your videos forever. So first thing is you've got to pick a time that suits you. Second thing is Facebook like a video that probably goes somewhere between 12 to 20 minutes. And when I say that to people, they kind of go, wow, that's a long time. 12 minutes goes really quick, goes a lot faster than you think it would. So when you look at, when we come up to the blueprint in a minute, you'll see how quickly 12 minutes would go. But the longer your video goes, the better Facebook pushes that out across, using the algorithm across the platform. Always make sure that you tag the location that you're doing your video from, because that will also, Facebook will also spread that through a geolocation service. So how does it work? Well, the first thing around video is that we know around about 75 to 80% of people will only watch the first 15 to 30 seconds. So your first 15 to 30 seconds had better be bloody good. And what I see, schoolboy error or schoolgirl error, is they get on a Facebook Live and they say something like this: "Oh, I'm live. Am I live? Yep. Okay. I'll just wait for a few more people to come on, and that's the first 15 seconds, and people are gone straight away. So the key is when you go live is to hit everybody that's watching, whether they're watching live or on replay, which is where most people will watch it, is you got to hit them right between the eyes with what the content is going to be in that live. So it could be something like you press live on your video, and then the next thing you say is, do you realize it's impossible for you to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger no matter how much strength training you do? In today's show, I'm going to talk about the benefits of doing strength training. And so automatically, the niche that we're going to be talking to is probably men who do strength training. So you can have a controversial statement. You can ask a question. You could give a statistic. It's just like if in the olden days when we used to do a newspaper ad or a flyer that went in somebody's letterbox, the headline at the top of that marketing piece is the first 15 seconds of your video. So don't waste it by going, I am a hair. Oh, I'll just wait for a few more people to come on, and because they just tune out straight away. So that's the first step. And what I do is I'll probably repeat that initial question or statement two or three times, because I know that as soon as I hit live, not everybody's going to come on. So I'll repeat it two or three times. Then I'll do an introduction. Hey, it's JT here. This is JT in the Raw. You're watching JT in the Raw show one whatever, where I chew the thin on business, because I don't chew the fat. We're in the fitness industry, so I chew the thin on business. And after 30 years in business, I've got a few things to chew. That's my introduction. And then I go into, I've got a few shout outs for this week. So when I do a shout out, I'll shout out to people I know who's had a birthday that week, or a shout out to a client that I've had that's done something, got some amazing results. I might shout out to a brand new client that I've got, anything like that. And as soon as I shout out to them, that gives me permission to tag them in the comments above. Because then I can say, hey, special thanks this week go to Alex, Dave, Fred, John, Peter. And so that's tagged. So then it shows up on their feed. So people go, oh, what's this? Oh, I've got a new personal training client. So I do my shout outs. That might take 3 minutes. And then I get into my content, and I'll go back to that initial statement and then content. Now, throughout my content, this is a key thing, is that I always try to come up with three key points or 5 points. And what I'll say is something like this. So if one of these points resonate for you as I go through the five reasons why you should do strength training, I want you to give me a love heart. Hit that little emoji love heart, so that, and if that resonates for you, if you think that's a really important reason that you should exercise. If you think it's an okay reason, give me a thumbs up, okay? But if it really resonates, give me a love heart. Now, the reason why we do that is that the Facebook algorithm loves that love heart, because there's more effort that the person has to do. And so therefore, Facebook algorithm goes, wow, look at all these love hearts coming through on this video. Wow, people like Alex must love this video. So let's push it to more people like Alex in this geolocation. So I always do those five, always try to do some action steps, if you will, or benefits in this case around strength training. And then I'll do a summary at the end of that content. And then I'll say, what's happening next week? These are the things that are happening next week for me. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, which again allows me to tag people if I want to. And then I always finish my show with quote of the week. So I just have a quote of the week that relates directly back to the content that I've delivered. So if you're a fit pro, your content, you might do a quote of the week, or you might do a stat of the week. So the stat of the week is, you can speed up your metabolism by 15% by doing strength training. And that means you're going to be burning body fat while you're not at the gym. Let me say that again. you'll speed up your metabolism by 15% by doing strength training. If you like the sound of that, give me a love heart right now. Now, there are a couple of things that I throw in the show as well. Probably once a month, I'll have like a question of the day. So question of the day might be, what are you guys up to on the weekend? If you're watching live or on replay, tell me what you're up to, but only use an emoji. No words, just an emoji. So they've got to kind of flick through. Or tell me how your sleep's been this week. Give it a rating between 0 and 5, 0 terrible, 5 great. When I ask a question of the day or question of the week is I want them to put a number or a single letter or a single image up. I don't want them writing a sentence because then they're not listening to me talk. So again, Facebook sees people engaging with the video and they therefore spread it. And then the last thing that I say is somewhere, usually after the content, just before I go into what am I doing next week, if you got any value out of this video, you can hit the share button or you can tag people in comments below who you think might get value from this as well. And at the moment, the Facebook algorithm doesn't pick up what we say on video. It only picks up what we type. So if we actually type something in the comments that says, please share this video with your friends, that'll get pushed down a newsfeed. But if you say it, it's got a much better chance of people then typing it in and then getting spread. So that's kind of the blueprint in 4 or 5 minutes.
I love that. That's probably the most tactical rundown of a Facebook Live that we've ever had on this show. So a lot of people have come on and talked about Facebook Lives. That first point that you made, that very first point, I'm a culprit. I'm a culprit of that, of waiting for people to join. Not so much checking my hair because I don't have much of it. I'd be like waiting for people to join. Hey, Justin, nice to see you. Hey, Sarah, nice to see you. And just like, just biding time for a little bit and not really getting into the punch and the hook, like you said. And it's going back to marketing 101, which is before the fold, right? So the main headline and just hooking them straight away so that they want to stick around. And actually, you're going to get more brownie points from Facebook if you're retaining attention. On the live, because people are waiting to hear what content you've got. So that alone is just a huge one for people, and I absolutely love that. I love the tagging as well and the announcements, but also sticking to the same time. That's just great because you're creating that consistency, and like you said, you're going to get more people showing up because they're almost expecting it, or they're going to check back even if they couldn't attend the time to see if you did post again, because you're doing it so consistently. And so you're building like a reoccurring audience over and over and over again. Absolutely love that. In terms of like calls to action though, to your like offers and stuff, you're getting people to engage a lot, but are you ever like promoting someone to like book a phone call, to attend a gig, to buy a ticket or buy a product? Do you do any of that type of stuff in your lives as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I do it. I don't overdo it. So I'm not doing it on every single show. I would probably do maybe once a month, going back to that analogy, jab, 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 right hook. I don't want to do it in every show. And then when I do it, all I'll do is I'll say, let me give you an example. Oh, this week we interviewed so-and-so. This week I released an ebook on onboarding new clients. So if you're interested in that, just put ebook in the comments below. We've got tickets that we're selling for our technology summit. Just put fits in the comment below. 3 weeks ago, I did a roar on da-da-da-da-da-da and got some great feedback on that show. So that was show 162. Just put 162 in the comments below. So I tell them exactly what to do, and I'll tell them, when I coming up to the summary at the end of the show, I revisit all of those little comments of what to do. Now, what I can show you for those that are watching on video, let me just see. Is I'll write stuff down around a show. So
just draft out an outline of what you're going to cover and the almost like the call to action. Okay, so for anyone that can't see this, we've got two pages here, two pages of notes. So
it's two A4s, bullet points, and I use colored textures. So my introduction is always in blue. My shout outs is always in pink. And I just say, for example, on this show, I had a new client called Grace. So I just wrote Grace and I knew exactly what that meant. And then I had in brown next to that, if you want to know about becoming a client of mine, just put coach in the comments below. And then I've got all my content in red. And then I've got my next week summary back in blue. And then my quote of the week in black.
So how long does this take you to prepare, Justin?
Less than 20 minutes.
Okay. So I suppose like you're in the flow of doing it. You've done over 160 shows, right? 60. So
yeah.
So you're pretty skilled at doing it quickly. Yeah.
Yes and no. If I pick a topic that I'm going to speak on that I don't know much about, it would take me hours. Because it's like me preparing a presentation. Because my videos go for anywhere between 18 and 20 minutes. So it's like doing a TED talk. So the first bit of advice that I would give to everybody that's doing lives is only talk on topics that you're comfortable with. Because when you talk on a topic that you're comfortable with, like for me, I could talk on strength training, but not at the same level as a S&C coach could. So I wouldn't try to talk about postmenopausal exercise or premenopausal or postnatal exercise because I don't know about that. But talk, I could do a 20-minute talk on incidental exercise. So it's really important that the topics that we cover are topics that we're comfortable speaking on. And your content has to be kind of around 7 to 8 minutes. And the thing that I learned, and you're probably seeing this too, Alex, with you doing them and even with the podcast, is there's a lot of people out there that actually don't know as much as you. And particularly around the topic of exercise and activity and nutrition. So you could... For me, if I was a fit pro, one show a month, I would debunk myths about exercise or nutrition. Because too many people go to Google to find their answer around how to exercise or what to eat. So I would do one show a month, just completely debunking a myth. And I reckon you'll find people would get, you know, people to come and listen to that. I got a client and I give you show a name, like don't just go, oh, I'm going live. It's got to have a brand. A client that I work with, his name's Matt. So he's Facebook Live and he's done 140, I think. His is called Chew the Fat with Matt. And so he does one on his month goes nutrition, cardio, strength, mindfulness. And so there is four topics. Now, for me, most of my topics are generated based on what's happened to me that week. So again, and Matt does this, and I'm not sure how accurate this is, but he'll go, okay, guys, Chew the Fat with Matt. This week we're talking about sleep, and we're talking about how important sleep is because this week I had three clients tell me that they had sleepless nights. Now, whether he did or not, I don't know. But he can then talk about sleep because he's passionate about that. So that's the most important thing. Only pick your topics that you know what you're talking about.
No, I love that. There'll be a lot of people listening to this. Maybe they want to go into more like speaking. and doing presentations, maybe little seminars in their gyms, and maybe they're not at that level yet. And I think like doing Facebook Lives is a good outlet to like practice your content, and 100%. Also like create your own presentations online where you call the shots. Like you said, you can brand it yourself and get comfortable with like laying out structures of content and calls to action. Cause like you don't have to get permission from anyone to do a Facebook Live, and you don't have to go and sell tickets or get people to come to you. You just show up, and if people come, great. If they don't, you build it over time. So it's like it's a phenomenal outlet for everyone to leverage to build their audience and almost practice their presentation skills. But you've done a ton of presentations, right? Over 340 odd presentations in 21 different countries to hundreds of thousands of people. So you've done a lot, and you speak about getting work off the back of lives as well. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Yep.
For anyone listening, why do you think that's the case? Why do you think you're able to get work from doing lives?
I hate to keep harping on the same thing, but it's they know me. They now like me. They now see me a lot. So now they build that trust, and therefore they now are interested in buying me. And it's raw and it's authentic. So I'm not putting on the newsreader face or the look or the feel. It's just who I am. And if you like who I am and you trust who I am, then let's do business together. And I almost don't have to ask for business. It just comes because people like and trust you. And the other thing I was going to quickly say on live before we finish on that, I guess, is there's no reason why you can't have a guest. So if you're not comfortable talking about nutrition, you can just move your chair to the side and have someone sitting next to you who's the dietitian from the gym or in the local community. And you can just ask questions. You're still the expert because you've brought this expert in to talk to your people. And then they'll share it with those people as well. So again, you don't have to take the whole responsibility on your shoulders. You can get other people in. I would not get another fit pro in. I would be getting a physio or a doctor or a nutritionist or a dietitian or a massage therapist or a sleep specialist, but I wouldn't put another fit pro in there because I don't want to have them taking my clients.
I think the common theme with this this podcast really, Justin, is know, like, and trust. Is building that know, like, and trust. Everything that we've spoke about from the sales process and the Facebook Lives is all about like building relationships with people before going into the ask, and giving, like leading with providing value to the marketplace. And that's going to position you as an authority and someone who is an expert that people want to do business with, whether it's coaching clients or whether it's speaking gigs. But it all starts with actually putting yourself out there. I think we've smashed through this podcast just on a couple of topics. I think there's loads more that you and I could explore together, particularly with like the efficiencies of running a business, because I know you're big on efficiencies to increase profits and growth. So I think that's a whole nother podcast in itself. But I'd like to kind of end on this, because we've covered Facebook Lives in great depth and putting yourself out there and building know, like, and trust. But there might be a lot of people in the audience hesitating to really get out there and expose themselves and put almost their reputation or themselves on the line to be judged by other people. Yeah. And I imagine to some degree, maybe you weren't affected by this because you were a special case and a unique unicorn. Okay, but like what was it like for you when you knew in order to grow your reach, grow your brand, grow your awareness, you had to actually take a deep breath and put yourself out there and do that first live? Let's just end on that and talk about that, because I think this is going to be super practical for people who need to take action on this, because we've given them the most amazing strategy, but the thing that's going to hold people back right now is fear of being judged. How did you overcome that?
Well, I can tell you that if you went back and looked at the first probably 5 to 25 to even 50 shows, you will see that I was shitting myself. But the way I looked at it, Alex, was that if I was going to be teaching people in our industry about how to get our message out and how to build this like and trust concept, is that you have to get comfortable in front of a video. And so I forced myself to do it. I just said, I just got to do it. Now, the reason I choose 8 o'clock on a Friday morning is that is the time that I know every week I have free. So it's not about when it's convenient to my listeners or my watchers, it's for me. Because if I'm not comfortable, I will find the smallest excuse not to do it. So in order for you to get comfortable, just pick the time that suits you best so that you don't have any excuses. The second thing is do your planning. So think about, let's just do a month. Or let's do 6 weeks. So when I first started, I committed in the very first show, I said, I'm going to do 12 weeks of this. I'm going to do one a week for 12 weeks. And if you guys like what I'm doing, I'll keep going. So commit to your audience that it might be 6 weeks. And you might do, and like, I'll give you an example, a client that I work with, is not as prolific with content as me, is not as comfortable on a screen as me. So they do 6 week blocks. So they'll do 6 weeks, then they'll go off for 4 weeks, and then they'll do 6 weeks. And that makes them a little bit more comfortable because they know it's not endless that content that they've got to come up with. So they just write their content for a 6 week block and go, right, this is what I'm working on. Done. It's a mini series, if you will. And it's a common theme. So they did an example is they did 6 Facebook lives on preparing for the snow season this year. And then they did 6 Facebook lives to prepare for your first fun run. We're going into fun run season down under at the moment. So that made it really easy for them. The third point is, you can't screw it up. And I think this is the thing that is the obstacle for most people, is that they think they're going to screw it up. I'm not sure if it's being judged. That may be maybe what happens, but they think they're going to make mistakes and they'll look silly. Because it's raw and it's authentic, you just laugh at yourself. You laugh when the fly goes in your mouth. You laugh when somebody pulls their pants down over your shoulder because you're in a gym and it's like, what's going on? I just got to stay focused. And you get better. You get better. It's like the more you do it, the more comfortable you become with it. So, and we talked about this earlier. If you wait till you're really comfortable and you want perfection, you'll never pull the trigger. You'll never do it. So just get in and have a crack and learn your own model that works well for you. You might find that you feel really comfortable doing it in a dark corner in the gym, or you might find sitting in your home office or sitting in your kitchen is where you feel most comfortable. I do mine all over the place, but I'm now comfortable. But to start with, I wanted to do it where there was nobody around because I didn't want anyone going, oh, what's he doing? Now, I don't care where I do it. I want people to go, what's he doing? And I go, oh, I got a Facebook show. Do you want to come and join it? And they're like, what? Like I did one in the US at a conference that I was speaking at, and I had 3 Russian ladies come in, and they came in and they spoke Russian, and then later they went back and shared the video throughout Russia, the Russian fitness industry. I don't know if I got any extra viewers, but we did. There's another suggestion that I just want to finish with Facebook Live. Well, first of all, did I answer those questions?
Yeah, totally. Imperfect action. Okay, yeah, it's just to reiterate that point, guys. It's like you're never going to feel perfect. There's never going to be a perfect moment in life to do anything that feels a little bit scary, because you're always going to have those chemicals that are brewing in your stomach. They're going to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I would say that's a good barometer that you're on the right track for doing the right thing. If it scares you a little bit, go for it.
reuse your content. So whenever you do a video, make sure you save it and put it onto YouTube. So set yourself up a YouTube channel, load your video on YouTube, push that to a blog post or a LinkedIn post, whatever it may be. If you start to do a weekly show, you're going to get heaps of content that you can then reuse.
Yeah, super efficient. Kind of like Gary V is slice and dice, repurposing content. He's big on that. Love it. So for anyone listening to the show right now, how can they find out more about what you do? What's the best place to connect with you? Maybe it's LinkedIn, maybe it's Facebook, maybe there's somewhere that you want the listeners to head. Where should they go?
Look, if they want to connect with me personally, they can just Google Justin Tamset and I'll come up. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can hit me up on Facebook. We have a international closed Facebook group. So it's called the Active Management Community. We've got about 1,100 people in there and they are Fit Pros, PT, business owners, club owners, people from all over the world. Very engaging community. It's pretty awesome, actually. And people ask a lot of questions and there's no sales pitches. So we don't have anyone in there trying to sell shit to people. It's like, this is how we get better as a business owner. So that is, Active Management Community. Anybody wants to join, they can join that. But if you Google me, Justin Tamset, reach out and we can have a chat. Want a chat. And if you ever want to watch JT in the Raw, just hashtag JT in the Raw, and I think it's on about 11 o'clock Thursday nights in the UK, so just before you go to bed.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.